Democrats and progressive activists were turning the heat on Republicans for killing legislation without full committee hearings yesterday.
This is becoming a standard operating procedure, particularly in the Republican-controlled House. But I think you have in mind in this instance a handful of abortion bills, pro and con. Courts Committee Chairman Dave Albo of Fairfax Republicans said he's not interested in taking up these bills that really aren't going to go anywhere. Among them was a Republican bill that would ban abortion, essentially all forms of abortion, after 20 weeks. This is taking place just as the President of the United States announces his pick for a vacancy on the U.S. Supreme Court. And one of the things on which President Trump at least is committed is returning the issue of abortion to the states. I don't know that Republican candidates in a House election year, even in these safe districts, or gubernatorial candidates want to spend a lot of time talking about abortion rights in a state that is suburban dominated, in which women make up the majority of the electorate, and in which there is a good deal of support for abortion rights. And P.S., a lot of these bills, especially anything imposing a restriction on abortion rights, if it gets to the governor, Terry McAuliffe, you know he's going to veto it, and he's going to enjoy the crowing rights as well.
And a lot of activity in the rush up to crossover. That's the procedural deadline where legislation must be completed by the House and Senate, each chamber of its origin, before it crosses across the hall.
There's a lot moving on both sides. For example, the Republicans seem to be drawing a line in the sand with McAuliffe over reforms to the Economic Development Agency. There's been a lot of concern about money misspent or opportunities blown. Actually, it's a problem for which both parties are responsible. There are also further restrictions on access to the polls by four voters. Republicans in the House rammed through a bill that would require one provide proof of citizenship before registering to vote. That gets the governor, you know that one's going to be vetoed as well. But maybe there's a bit of a progressive reflex, even in this Republican-dominated legislature. The Senate, which has a slender Republican majority, seems to be cool on the idea of lessening some of these restrictions that result in people facing drunk and driving charges, facing piles of fines and penalties from other offenses, losing their driving privileges. And the Senate has sent a bill to the House that seems to kind of dial back on some of that. There seems to be some interest there. Of course, the governor is interested in that as well.
And a 90-minute drive up I-95. Democrats are pushing back against Donald Trump. They've been questioning his cabinet picks. Senator Mark Warner getting some grief from the left for not forcefully opposing some of them. He then issued a statement later this week that he would be pushing back on some in the future.
Yes, lots of news out of Washington having a very immediate effect on Virginia politics. As far as our senators are concerned, Mark Warner, the centrist, is getting heat from the Democratic left for supporting the Tillerson appointment to the State Department. Tim Kaine, the junior senator, opposed that. Despite that split, they've been pretty much as one on some other cabinet and cabinet-level picks. That includes opposing Betsy DeVos for Education Secretary. The Republicans seem to be concerned about her appointment. Mulvaney, that South Carolina congressman who was involved in the shutdown of the federal government, he's going to be the OMB director if Trump has his way. Both Virginia senators opposed that. However, maybe this is consistent with the strong defense and national security tradition of Virginia. Warner, Kaine have been supportive of the new president's picks for the CIA, Homeland Security, and the Department of Defense.
And Dave Brat getting some criticism for being inaccessible. This is the same charge he leveled against Eric Cantor 2 years ago, sweeping him to victory.
Yes, the 7th District congressman whose victory over Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader, augured the Trump victory for presidency in that there was this great populist revolt against the establishment Republicans. His Democratic constituents here in the Richmond area say he's only interested in meeting with the kinds of people who vote for him, and that includes Hanover County Tea Partiers. And there was a meeting up there over the weekend, and from it emerged a secret video in which the congressman had a number of untoward things to say about his critics. He trashed Obamacare. That's probably not all that surprising, but in the course of this soliloquy, he talked about how there were basically paid protesters on the Democratic side and how women were, as he put it, getting in his grill in Facebook posts in which they expressed their objections to his hostility to the ACA. Brad has promised to be accessible and has restated his commitment to be more accessible after Trump's first 100 days. But there seems to be a flaw in all of this, in that some of his ink-stained wretches and also some online enthusiasts discovered that Congressman Brad's making time to go out to Arizona at the end of February to appear with a fellow member of the Freedom Caucus. So it seems that whether it's in Virginia or whether it's in the American Southwest, Dave Brad does have a preference for people who think the way he does and vote the way he likes.
Thanks to Jeff Shapiro, political columnist at the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Jeff, we will talk again next week.
See you around the quad.
In Richmond, Craig Carper, WMRA News.